scripture will start will be read from Acts 11 from 17 until 18. So if God gave them the same gift he have given us who believe in Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objection and praised God, saying, "So then even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that lead us to life." This is the word of the Lord. I would like to invite Joely to come forward. But before that, we pray for you.
Yes.
Let's pray together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the bless and also for the joy that you give to us, to this congregation. We pray for him. Today he will speak about your word. We believe that you are the God that that empower him, that he can give the message from you to us. We pray for him, for his future, and for his family. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, and welcome again for those of you who are here for the first time. And our brothers from the ship sailing around the world, I think that's an incredible blessing. You're carrying the light wherever you go. Amen? And it's a joy for us to have you here with us. And our sister, did you say you're from Sweden, ma'am? From Sweden, yeah? From Germany. A special welcome to you. We have also people from Germany here among us in the congregation, so you feel be at home. Who else is out there that came here for the first time? Yeah, yes, welcome, 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 special welcome. It's 2016, and I believe everybody around the world have something planned out or some sort of New Year resolution that we have planned. This year, I'm going to do better than last year. This year, I'm going to do this, and I will change this, and this, and it's a wonderful thing. All of us needed that. And the Bible is always instructing us to grow and change from where we were before to where God wants us to be today. Amen? And every time, every day, every year, God highlighted us certain truth about himself. In fact, it's supposed to be every day that we are growing in God. Last week, we talked about, we painted a kind of a rough teaser of the whole year for us. And it's about reaching up to God, not just raising our hand. Well, this also is a symbol of surrender. Yeah. So us reaching up to God, recognizing the one who called you. Not only my gifting and what I want to do, but recognize the one who called you by name. Who is he? What is he like? His character. His divine nature. When we forgot who this is, it'll be difficult for us to accomplish what we are called to do. Amen? And so reaching up to God, recognizing who he is, embracing some of his character, recognizing which one that I need to embrace in myself, his mercy, his faithfulness, and just soak in the love of the one who called you. Embracing who he is in our lives. And it is that we are reaching in, taking those truths into our lives, and it overflows out to others. Amen? So this is not, now step number one, reach up. Step number two, reaching in. Step number three, reaching out. No, as we are reaching up, we are also reaching in and we are reaching out. Yeah? So this is a natural flow in us that every day of our lives, we wake up in the morning, I want to spend 15 minutes with God, just reading the Bible and praying and making my life ready for the day. If there is anything that he wants me to do. And every day that becomes a habit. Every day I begin to draw closer to this God. Every day I begin to understand more of His Word, and His Word, His truth is convicting me, changing me, shaping me to be more like Him. And then all these things outflows to others. I remember I was a few years ago, I was coaching in Finland as a rugby coach. So we have all this youth from different places. And then three young men that I was coaching, I heard them outside say, you ask him. And I could hear them. I thought they came to ask for some of the strategy that I've been working with them on, attack and defense. And they came to me and they were saying, Coach, we just want to ask you something. I said, yep. Are you a Christian? You know? And I said, yes, I am. I am, and this is my Bible. I am a believer in Jesus. And there's a, you know, they were all Christians, but the whole time, the rugby culture can be different, difficult. You know, for them as young people, it's our reaching up. It will automatically reach out to people. But today we're going to talk about something different in line with what we've been talking about. And I believe in our small group. I think last year we started in the book of Acts in many small groups. Is that correct? And it's a wonderful thing to journey together and see things that God promised unfold to the believers and the new Christians. Yeah, and how it impact us today. The pouring of the Spirit of the living God to all mankind experienced in Jerusalem on chapter 1. And I love the story because that speaks of us as Christians, the church today. And we are encouraged when we look at some of the wonderful, mighty things that God did among the early church as they, 3,000, they came together and then they saw miracles happening. Their lives begin to change and transform. These are people who have heard the message of the gospel, the message of grace, that it is not by works or your tradition or your culture that saves you, but the mercy and the grace of God alone. Amen? That I can call out to God for His mercy and His grace, and God in His forgiveness through what Jesus did on the cross. His arm reach out to us, forgive us of our sins, and recognize our humility and brokenness and repentance, brought us into family and closer relationship with Him. And that's one of the privileges of being a Christian, that despite of where we come from, we are all recipients of His grace and His mercy. Amen? But today we learn something new. So the disciples, as we read in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, they begin to go through some difficult times. They were enjoying the wonders of God that He began to display as the early church. They moved from people are coming, numbers are, a lot of people are coming into faith in Jesus Christ, recognizing that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there were miracles also happening, signs and wonders. There were crippled men, there were blind men, there were the hands and the Spirit of God moving, doing mighty things that man has never seen before. And the church were the catalyst of this. And this most of the Christians at that time were Jews. And they were experiencing the fulfillment of the prophecy. In the book of Joel, he said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all mankind. So they were going from stage to stage, experiencing these, and then move on. And then they experienced the persecution, the threat from the religious leaders and the authorities. And they say to them, you need to stop mentioning the name of Jesus. You need to stop preaching the name of Jesus, or else this is going to happen to you. And they respond to the threat. They pray without fear. They recognize the sovereignty and the power of this God and ask him for boldness and ask him that even in the midst of difficulties, that God would continue to manifest his power by stretching out his hands to do mighty things. And they continue to do that, to see that and witness that. Peter, yes, those who have witnessed Jesus Christ, who would be following Jesus Christ while he was still alive, and they were witness to his death, and they were also witness to his resurrection, were right there on the front line of what was going on, a new move of God in bringing the church into flourishment. And then we come here in chapter 11. Something happened. So,
that's not fair.
I just talked to the person in front. Forget about you all. In this chapter, chapter 11, that was the perspective of the Jews, the new Christians, that they were, in ancient time, they were the favorite of God. And then God do something drastic, radical, yeah? Peter was in Joppa, and he visiting this guy named Simon, and he was a tanner. A tanner is somebody who makes leather out of dead animal. Yeah, so they are expert in leather making. And even in the Jewish law, these guys, they are considered unclean. So when he was there, he was resting, something happened to Peter. Now, Peter has been the frontline man that God said. You remember in Matthew, Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, yeah? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And here I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind here on earth, yeah, shall what? Shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose here. Peter was a special person. Yeah? And then in the book of Acts, who was the one that was preaching? Peter. The Spirit came upon him and he preached, and 3,000 came to know the Lord. Yeah, and he was the catalyst for this. And you see in the beginning of the book of Acts that this man, using this spiritual key, unlocking the kingdom of the kingdom, bringing privileges to those who have never witnessed the fulfillment of the prophecy of God. And that is the outpouring of the Spirit. They were there. They witnessed Jesus' resurrection. And the message that Peter was proclaiming, it was about the gospel and the centrality of Jesus as the only way to life eternal. Not our tradition, not my good works, but Jesus. Having and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. So they were enjoying this. And then here again, Peter, the same person that Jesus said, I will give you this key. He's about to unlock something else. And that is very important for us to hear today. He was there and he saw this vision of these animals coming down. Some commentary people, they think that he was hungry. So he's probably hallucinating. And he was lying there on the rooftop of this man, Simon, and probably this canvas, that the cloth that came out was probably a sail of a ship down there. But something happened. Peter was lying down, and he saw this cloth been dropped from heaven, and in this cloth were different animals that were taboo for the Jews, taboo to their ancient culture. and the ancient tradition and religion, and they consider unclean. And so here Peter saw this unclean animal, and then he heard the voice of God, the Spirit of the living God, say to him, take these things and eat it. You know, and that is a no-no. Absolutely not. What was God doing? God was doing something there. Peter didn't fully understood what was happening. And it says that it happened three times. Peter was pondering over this vision that he saw, and he was struggling just to embrace the whole concept of what the Spirit of God might be telling him. Yeah, because everything that he sees and then the instruction that he's been hearing is totally against his protocol. Yeah? And then finally, after a few times that he sees this vision, he understood the reason why. My topic today is about changing our perspective. For the disciples, that God has given them the message of salvation for all mankind, they started moving from steps to steps. And this chapter, chapter 11, the church will never move forward until they deal with these issues right here. Yeah, and that issue is about them being transformed in change of their perspective to see what God was doing in his kingdom. Amen? And that is, for the first time, what they consider unclean, which were the Gentiles. The Jews are not even allowed to talk with the Gentiles. The Jews were not even allowed to walk into a house of a Gentile. They are not allowed to associate it with anybody. So the sense of favoritism that Jesus even said that in his conversation with the Samaritan woman. He said, listen here, woman, salvation comes from the Jews, comes from us. Yeah? You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. So there is this sense not only of nationalism but favoritism, that the Jew were the only one favored and specially chosen by God. The rest are Gentiles. We cannot associate it with you. The salvation message of God is not for you, for us. And then God came to Peter and changed his life, his mindset. Everything that he holds, everything that the Jews know about their culture and tradition and what you need to do to be part of this family, community, radically changed on that very day. Yeah? And what was going on? At the same time he had this vision, God was speaking to someone who was declared unclean, unworthy. He's an Italian captain of the Roman legion. And he was the first Gentile to become Christian and brought into the family and the church of God. Yeah? This is amazing. So history is changing. God's plan for the kingdom is much bigger than Peter, is much bigger than the Jewish culture. It's for the whole world, for all mankind. For the Fijian like me, for the Indian, for the Filipino, for everybody have the right to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and be part of his family. And this was the first. Jesus said to Peter, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Yeah? And part of this key is your transformation. You need to change, Peter. And God, what was he doing? Changing Peter's life. He's seeing a whole different perspective. I never know that this is what God has in mind all along. I thought it was just us, the Jews. Yeah? So for him to step out in obedience, not only that God transfer him, he was willing to obey this conviction. This was the story, the background that was going on. And he came right after he had this vision, there was a knock on the door. And there were like six people. We're looking for Peter. And they were the servants of the captain. who has the same visitation, another supernatural visitation. See, I see what God is orchestrating. Sometimes we think we have arrived. This is what it is. And then God, boom, changed our mind. And he said, nope, it's bigger than this. I'm grateful that our God is like that. Because I can be that recipient of mercy. To be able to be part, to be able that I can access the throne of God and his mercy. To be part of God's family. It's about changing perspective. Why do we need to change our perspective? Because it's important. I was talking to one of our friends who's having such an impact. The changes that is, economic changes that is happening right now is imminent. And then for him, I love just sharing with him because he works in the oil industry. And then he said to me, you know, Joely, I've never felt the feeling of being a foreigner become so real in these changes. Before, it was my position and my profession. Now this impact has highlighted who I am as a foreigner. See? It happens. And the transformation that is happening here in Peter's life, transformation that the gospel is about to break through in a whole new dimension, Peter has to be transformed first. His whole life, his whole perspective, his whole culture radically changed, that he's about to see something that he's never seen before, that God's love and his compassion is not only limited to a group of favored people, an elite group of a nation, but everyone is equal in the eyes of God. And that is incredible to see. Amen? And when I look at here in chapter, the events that took place here, when that happened, he came and he went to Cornelius. This is a Jew. And this is a Gentile whom the Jews said, these people are unclean. And they are standing face to face with each other. When Cornelius, the Roman captain, saw Peter, he fell down. He fell down in awe. Peter said, hey, no, that goes to Jesus alone. I'm just his sovereign. Yeah? And then Peter recognized that he is about to cross the boundary. He's about to cross over and break down a barrier that has been built for a long time. That this, in whom they consider unclean, is about to be his brother. And the whole family is about to become part of his family. But he has to change first. Change has to happen. A change of perspective, a change of our way of thinking, for us to think bigger than ourselves and recognize what God is doing, great things that he is doing. Let me just go there quickly. Let me read out to you guys. In verse 9, chapter 10, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey approaching, Peter went up to the roof. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet open and being let down to earth by its four corners. It contains all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, surely not, Lord. He replied, I have never eaten any of this impure, unclean. And the voice told him the second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the man sent from Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate and they call, asking for Simon, who was asking, known as Peter, who was staying there. So while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the man and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The man replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous, God-fearing man who is respected by all Jews people. A holy angel told him that you have come to his house, that you must come to his house, that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them. He started out with them and found a large gathering of people. And then he said to them, "That it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" And then Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying for these hours and in the three afternoons. Suddenly, a man shining in cloth stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remember your gift to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest at the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.'" Verse 34, "Then Peter began to speak, 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accept men from every nation who fear him to do what is right. You know the message of God.'" So that was Peter here encountering. First he say, "This is a no-no, a taboo for me to even talking to you. But now I know that God has no favoritism." And it's amazing for us. I think the question that comes to my mind is who, and here we see Peter, the Gentiles were them. And this is us. We are the favor of God and the fulfillment of his prophecy. And now, the them and us, that wall is beginning to tumble down as we read here. And so what happened? Peter began to preach the gospel of salvation to Cornelius and his family. All of them heard the message. And they asked Peter, "What shall we do? What shall we do, Peter?" Peter said, "Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah? One of the biggest sign of being part of the Jewish culture is the culture of the practice of circumcision for the man. What happened to Cornelius at this point? When he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, a Gentile, he responded and he asked Peter, I want to become a Christian. I want to believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. What shall we do, Peter? He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent from your sin." And that's exactly what he did. Yeah. Normally after that, they will go through baptism. But soon as that happened, the Spirit of God came upon these people. And then Peter said, "If this is from God," yeah, because the Jew Christians in Jerusalem witnessed what happened. But now he's witnessing the same gift of the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentile family. And he said, "If this is from God, then who am I to stand in his way? A change of perspective, a transformation in the way we see things can determine for us the next step of what God wants to entrust to us. For Peter, he has to take a radical step. He has to be transformed. He has to be willing. God didn't manipulate Peter. It was Peter and Cornelius' own effort and initiative as they heard the message, the visitation from God, and they act out upon it. It is by their choice and their own initiative to make this happen, to see what they believe God is doing happen. We play a role in every major breakthrough in our lives, in our community. God has entrusted to us his message of reconciliation. And it is our choice. It'll be our initiative. It'll be our willful choice as individual that God, I want to be transformed so I can see things from your perspective, so I can do the things that I never done before to see your work and your plan and your glory unfold. Amen? And in chapter 11, Peter himself went up to Jerusalem and explained to the other leaders, you know, you kind of wonder, okay, what will they say? Explain to them what happened. There was so much criticism that came to Paul, to Peter at that time. But at the end of the day, their criticism turned into praise. Their criticism turned into worship. And they said, if God is doing that, who are we to stop what he's doing? Amen? And we see here that it takes people. So willingness to be transformed. Not only transform for, and then what? Transform in the purpose of God. Transform to the next step that God wants you to go in. Sometimes I talked to my friend last night. And I said to them, you know, you will worry about your job here in Norway. Yeah, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. And then I share with him, it says, in Psalm, it says, ask of me, and I will give you nation. Sometimes our profession are part of God's calling in our lives. Sometimes, if we look deeper, God's calling for him, for my friend I was talking to, I said, if you look deeper, maybe God calls you here to Norway in the first place. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that's what I believe at first. And now he's changing his plan just because of your work. I don't know. I say, well, let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's pray. If it is his will for you to be here, but to be able to challenge, to look at the word and see the word challenge and confront us. This is my plan, and this is God's plan. The psalmist says, ask of me, and I will give you nations as an inheritance. And that's what we see here. In Psalms, it makes a prophecy that not only that God is a God of the Jews, but he's a God of all nations. And we see here that this chosen family, this Italian family, this Roman official will be the first of the many other Gentiles who are going to come into the incredible family of God that God has planned from eternity, even in the beginning of time. That all nations, one day we read in Revelation, all nations, all tribes will there before the throne of God. So, what is my them? And what is my us? What wall have I created that becomes a barrier for me to reach out and embrace others to my life? For those of you who are here for the first time, these new board and council members that you hear the announcement earlier on, they're from different nations. We have Brazilian, We have Scottish. We have Venezuelan. We have Norwegian. We have Indonesian. They're part of the leadership of this team. They bring their gifts and their strength and to lead and move forward. And we pray together and seek the Lord's will together. And there are times that we'll have to make this choice to lay down some of the things that separates us as God has break down those barriers. You have the right, no matter where you are, no matter what profession you have every right to be a child of living God, to be part of his family. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, you are not excluded from anything. We are all together, amen, as one. And Peter, as we see in Peter, his determination, his own initiative, his own conviction that he is not willing to let his background hinder him or stop him from what God is about to do. Yeah? And now we become the recipient of those steps of obedience of people who tear down the walls and see things from a whole different perspective, that every man, not only that is equal, they need to know and bring them to be part of the family of God. So that means your life and my life is worth fighting for. There are people out there, you may have a different perspective of who they are, but maybe we need to get God's perspective. And see, that is the energy that we are going to. That's the motivating factor, is that God has no favoritism, no partiality, that all men, that they will have all the opportunity to hear the gospel, to receive the gospel, and respond to the gospel, and be part of God's family. 2016, what does God have for us? What is it that I need to be transformed from? Are we willing to be transformed? Are we willing to have a different perspective? Are we willing to think kingdom? This year is about reaching up, gaining his perspective, reaching in, asking God to change what he needs to change in us, and reaching out. It is what is here is what we are going to give out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is power. Your word transforms us. Your word help us. We ask of you that you will help us today in our perspective and how we see things, how we see people's lives, how we see one another, how we see the different nations that are represented here. Help us to change our perspective and to see your kingdom plan. Transform us as we see the life of Peter. He has to be transformed first. Transform us, O Lord.